Well, I hope to see everyone next year. That starts next Sunday. And I'm starting a sermon series, a four-week sermon series on adversity, how to handle adversity. And you know, there are a lot of cards up here, a lot of hurt and a lot of pain. And so I know that just about every single one of us is currently dealing with some kind of adversity that we need to overcome. So I hope you'll be with us next week and throughout the month of January as we look at really tangible things that we can do that might help us as we are facing these giants in our lives that are so real, that can be so threatening. But this year, that's next year. This year, 2019, here at the United Methodist Church of Whitefish Bay is winding down with a bang. You may not know this, but this is the eighth day. This is the 14th different worship service in those 8 days. This is the fifth different sermon that I've had to write. I didn't do any retreads this season. The fifth sermon to be written and delivered. 8 days, 14 services, 5 different sermons. Some of them preached 4 times the same message. I'm tired. I'm a little tired. Anyone else tired? And, you know, this was perfect sleep-in late kind of weather outside with all that fog, but I'm so glad I'm here. I draw energy from doing what God has created me to do and by being with God's people. A new year is dawning, 2020, and it's going to be an important year. It's an election year for us here in this country, and anytime there's an election year, it's very important. It's hard to watch TV sometimes as the battle kind of gets going. But, you know, we kind of think back at things that happened over the last year. In my own life, there's some exciting things that happened. I mean, I got to go on a destination wedding and do a wedding at a castle in Germany. That was very cool. I'll never forget what happened this year, probably because it's in a frame and it's on our wall at the house, but my lovely wife had never, ever been fishing before in her life. She's only been fishing once. She's only caught one fish. 130-pound big-eye yellowfin tuna, a battle that went on and on. They clapped for you, honey. And I also have heard some funny things. Maybe the funniest thing I heard was on December 27th. You see, in our counter, in our kitchen, we have a little calendar, and it's called a life hack calendar. Is anyone familiar with what a life hack is? Each day, there's a little piece of advice, some tip of something that you didn't know how to help you out. Like if somebody uses a Sharpie marker on a dry erase board, do you know how to get that off? You draw over it with an actual dry erase marker, and it just comes right off. It's magic. A life hack. Well, on the back of each of those, there's some kind of fun fact. So as we ripped off the 26th, I read out loud what was on the back, and it said this: the first Kwanzaa was celebrated on December 26th, 1966, to which point my oldest daughter, Abigail, looked at her mother, my lovely wife, and said, "Mom, you're older than Kwanzaa," which I don't think Mom appreciated. Janet, my lovely wife, I don't think she appreciated hearing that. But 2020 isn't just the beginning of a new year. It's a whole new decade, a whole new 10 years. And looking back, my girls were 10 and 12. Elementary school and the beginning of middle school, and now look at them, they're grown up. This last decade had a job change for me, a new opportunity to grow in mission and ministry as I was appointed here to the United Methodist Church of Whitefish Bay. In the media right now, whether it is on the internet or on your televisions or in your newspapers, or if you receive publications, magazines that are sent to your house, there's all of these look back, you know, looking back, the famous people who have passed away, the things that have happened in sporting events or in entertainment, whether it's music or the stage or the screen. And I know that there are a lot of people who love musicals here in this community of faith. Certainly this last decade will be remembered for Hamilton and the way in which it swept through. But we also look back and see the things that happened with the politics in our country, the world politics. We look back and see all of the natural disasters that happened last year and over the last 10 years. There's all this kind of stuff to look back. But I'm here today to tell you, we must not look back, we must look forward. The only way we should and can go is forward. We need to grow forward in our intellect, forward in our relationships, forward in our spiritual relationship, our spirituality. In less than a week, just a couple of days, a brand new decade. And it's exciting to look forward into that decade. And when a new decade starts, we all think about, how is my life going to be different 10 years from now? How might the world be different 10 years from now? I mean, when I sit there and do that, I say, yikes, I'm going to be 60 in this next decade. How did that happen? I look at the mirror, I'm still 20, right? No, not so much. But I'm sure there's a number of preachers as the year 2020 approaches that they're going to talk about perfect vision, being able to see clearly. 15 years ago, when my previous church, we were doing our strategic planning, we called it our 2020 vision. Where did we want to be? Where did we see ourselves in the year 2020? But the reality is, there's not a single one of us here that can have 2020 vision in terms of what life is going to be like 10 years from today. But there is good news. You see, in this season of giving gifts, God has given us a gift, and it is the gift of free will, which means we have the ability to think. We have the ability to make decisions. We have ability to decide on what kind of actions we are going to take. And we know that sometimes those actions can lead to harm, to self-harm or to harm others. But we also know that this gift of God, this free will, the ability to think and make decisions, to think logically, can also unlock a multitude of blessings for us. And it's my prayer that you individually, that we collectively, might all have a decade worth of blessings, blessings upon blessings, as we look forward, as we move forward. And the Bible has some things to say about this. The first passage is from Isaiah chapter 43. And we hear the prophet speaking for God, "Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I'm about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins." Now, before I get to the New Testament lesson, do you realize what we just heard there? God promising that God's going to make a way where no way seems possible. Rivers in a desert, a way, a path in the wilderness. That God wants to blot everything out. That God is saying to us, I don't know why you're beating yourself up over something that happened so many years ago. See, it's my nature. I am God, and I'm willing to forget that and cleanse you and move forward. Why are you stalled in life? Because of something that I'm desperately wanting you to move forward from. Move forward. Paul writes to the church in Philippi, "Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Jesus Christ." And towards the very end of the New Testament in Hebrews, reflecting back on a man from the Old Testament, Abraham, he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. The words of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. Now, I'm a little sad because the last decade had a television show I very much appreciated, and we actually spent one of our weeks gleaning lessons for our spiritual journey from it, The Big Bang Theory. How many of you watched The Big Bang Theory? Right? And one of the major characters was Dr. Sheldon Cooper, and there was a recurring bit on The Big Bang Theory, and it was Dr. Sheldon Cooper's fun with flags. He loved flags, and then Amy, his girlfriend who became his fiance, became his wife. Dr. Amy Farrah Fowler was a part of it. He was a geek, well, in a lot of ways, but he was a geek for flags. He had an obsession with flags. Do you know what the scientific term is for someone who has an obsession with flags? The study of flags? Vexillology. Look it up. Google it. Vexillology. And so when I start to think about flags, you know, when we were living out east, I think the Maryland state flag is a beautiful flag. It's so different from all the other state flags. But when I think of the Wisconsin state flag. And if you look at the front of your bulletin, you can see a picture of the Wisconsin state flag. Meh, it's really not much of a flag, in my opinion, with one exception. And that one exception is on our flag is our state motto. And our state motto is a single word. And do we know what our state motto is? Say it out loud with me. Forward. Forward. I love the fact that our state motto is so short that you can remember it, and seemingly so simple, and yet, it is so rich with meaning. Forward. The only way there is forward. In the Old Testament, there is this wonderful story that can really be read parabolically about God coming down and saying to a family, look, some bad things are about to go down here. I don't want this to happen to you. Get out of here. Go. Go now. Get out your entire family. Get out of here and don't look back. And we know this story. All but one did what God said, but it was Lot's wife who was unwilling to leave what was behind, focused on looking back, and we know that she was then forever frozen because she was looking back. There is only one way, it is forward. By not having a forward mentality, we are going to be locked in place where we are and looking in the wrong direction. And I don't like to look in the wrong direction. I don't like to move in the wrong direction. Anytime I'm on a plane or a train or some kind of public transit where there's two options, you know, they have the seating, and depending on which way the train's going, half of the people are traveling forward and the other half are traveling backward. Does anyone else get sick at your stomach when you travel backwards? I mean, there's a few of us. It's a real thing. I looked it up. I mean, there's a scientific reason why this happens. A select few of us lucky ones. We're not lucky at all. You know, our brain fires these messages, and we really do kind of lose our orientation. We get sick if we are traveling backwards. And so if I'm on a full Hiawatha train from the Milwaukee airport down to Chicago, and I can't sit facing forward, I'll stand the entire time until they come and they harass me. Then I'll sit down until they leave. Then I'll stand and face forward again. I get sick. You can imagine how much fun I am at amusement parks. There's very few rides I can do. If it goes backwards, I'm out. Down fast, up fast, left, right fast, I'm okay. But backwards, no way. No way. And it's true with my own life, too. More than just movement, I must be going forward. As we've said throughout this season, has anyone ever gotten where they truly needed to be or where they were supposed to be by looking backwards? There's only one direction, friends, and it is forward. One of the shows that has not been canceled that I currently enjoy watching is on Netflix. It's a Netflix series called The Crown. Anyone watch The Crown at all? And in this third season, there was an episode. Don't worry, it's not a spoiler if you haven't seen it yet. It's just a little scene. And The Crown is a story that chronicles, although there's some historical inaccuracies, but it focuses on the royal family. I almost said the holy family. No, the royal family, the House of Windsor, throughout their generations. And we know that the one king gave up the throne because of his relationship with this woman named Wallace, an American. And it was his funeral. And so Prince Charles is alive in the series at this point. He's grown, but he's not quite the full-blown adult yet, and Wallace is giving to Prince Charles the pocket watch, a pocket watch that she had presented to the Duke, and it's a very fancy watch, of course. The royals only have really nice stuff, and this was a pocket watch, but it was also a compass, and I've never seen a pocket watch that was also a compass. Now we all have our Apple watches that are a compass and a watch and a phone, and we can watch stuff on it, but there was an inscription on the back of this. Here's what the inscription said. No excuse for going the wrong direction. No excuse for going the wrong direction. And so the question for you is, what direction are you going to be moving in 2020? Because, brothers and sisters, there is no excuse for going the wrong direction. Now, yes, we know how important it is to learn from the past, to even have memories of the past, because it helps us shape our future. Matter of fact, we know that within the United Methodist Church, we have something called the quadrilateral, this device that we have to help us determine what God would have us do. And we know that experience and tradition, things that happened before us, that experience and tradition, when combined, with Scripture, and as I said before, our intellect. Using the gifts of our mind, we can discern what God would have us do. And we need to be reminded that it is God's intention that we move forward into something that will ultimately be a new creation, which is why Paul said, forgetting what lies behind and reaching for the things that are ahead, I strive toward the prize of the upward call. Forward. There's a quote on the front of your bulletin that says, if you fall on your face, I'm not going to read it exact. If you fall on your face, it's okay because at least you're moving forward. And I get that. You know, we're all going to fall on our face. We're all going to trip at times moving forward. But it's better, far better to fall on your face than to fall on what I'll call your backside. Because when you fall on your face and you get up, just picture in your mind, you fall on your face and now you're getting up. When you're getting up, you're actually assuming the sprinter's starting position to move forward even more. And so forward, forward, forward. Now, it was a busy couple of weeks, and we planned all of our services. Not all of them went exactly the way we had planned, but most of them went the way we had planned. And we kind of forgot what I had said about this week. And so on Thursday, I came in the office and I said to Christy, Do you know what you're going to say for the children's time? And she goes, no, because I don't remember what you're going to say at the adult time. And I said, tell you what, find some kind of a measuring rod and have the kids stand up there. I didn't realize that I was going to be the one having to stand up there. And have the kids stand up there mark them and ask them how much they think they're going to grow in the next year. And talk about growth, but then also talk about the ways in which they're going to grow in their intellect, in their minds, the new things that they're going to learn. Help them to think about the ways in which they're going to grow in terms of the way they have relationships with one another. And please end by letting them know the way that they can grow spiritually. Forward. Forward in growth. Forward in intellect. Forward in relationships. Forward in our spiritual journey. Now for me, and for many of us here in this room right now, growing in height is no longer an option. Matter of fact, most of us have started to go in the opposite direction. But for children, some years there was an explosive growth. I started high school a whopping 5'2" tall. When I showed up for my sophomore year of high school, I was 5'8". I grew 6 inches in 1 year. 6 inches in 1 year. I only mustered up one extra inch for the rest of my life. But I, 6 inches in 1 year, that's an incredible amount of growth. But physical growth for many of us now is only measured in belt loops, no longer in rulers. But maybe, if you're going to be honest, you are worried about aging in the next 10 years. Maybe some of you are here and saying, I wonder if I'm going to even make it 10 more years. 10 years can be a long time. And if that is a worry on your heart, I have great good news, and it comes right from Scriptures. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away or aging, our inner self, which is far more important than the outer self, our inner self is being renewed day by day. And another verse I'm growing very, very fond of from Proverbs, the glory of young men is their strength, but the splendor of old men is their gray hair. Yes, the crown of wisdom. And some of us have it on our chins. Some of us have it all kinds of places. And then finally, Psalm 73. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. You know what, friends? I'm okay getting 10 years older. It beats the alternative. But I think what we need to focus on moving forward are the ways in which we can grow intellectually, relationally, and spiritually. And if we're going to talk about growing intellectually, we are reminded of what Paul wrote to the church in Rome. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you can figure out what God's will is. The renewing of your minds. We need to continue to grow intellectually. And I think one of the best ways to do that is to to grow through open dialogue. Yes, there's all kinds of devices, there's all kinds of games, there's all kinds of things that we can do that are quote-unquote brain food for us to keep our minds sharp. But have you ever met somebody who knows it all about everything? Those people aren't going to grow intellectually because they're just closed to learning anything new. I think dialoguing with open minds, understanding that there are things that we don't know, understanding that things are changing and we need to learn new things in order to continue to move forward faithfully as a child of God. We can all grow intellectually. We can all learn new things. As soon as we stop learning new things, the dying process really begins. But what about relationally? You may say, I know everyone I'm ever going to know. I've loved everyone as much as I can ever love them. But I say, no, there's room for growth there. There are new relationships that can pop up, and there's an even deeper level of connection that you can have with those people that you already currently love. You see this beautiful white bouquet here with the roses? That's left over from a wedding that was here in the sanctuary yesterday morning. Emily Hoylman was married here in the sanctuary, and she became Jake Johengen's wife as they gave themselves to another in a covenant relationship right here in front of this altar. And they selected a passage from Scripture that I think, yes, it applies to them in the romantic relationship as husband and wife, but it also applies to just people being relational with one another. Ephesians 4, 2 through 6 says, how to live? With humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily, pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love, alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. You are all called to travel on the same road and in the same direction. So stay together both outwardly and inwardly. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness. Man, do I love that phrase, permeated with oneness. But it doesn't stop there. There was another blessing, a gift from this wedding. You see, if you want me to do a wedding for you, I give a couple homework. And they don't like homework, but I give them homework. And the homework is simply this. I want you to send me a single paragraph that answers the question why you want to marry this person. And I don't want couples to keep secrets, but please don't let your fiancé see this paragraph till after the ceremony. And sometimes I read the entire paragraph. Sometimes I just take little bits and pieces out of it. Oftentimes, they are so similar, I talk about their similarities. It helps make that wedding ceremony seem even more personal. But Emily Hoylman wrote something to Jake that I think really also applies to us as we relate to one another in a variety of ways. She says this, he balances me out. For as much as I value facts, he helps me consider feelings. When all I see is data, he helps me see designs. When I want things to be black and white, he teaches me to use color. When all I can see is the end goal, he helps me enjoy the journey. I think those are such beautiful words, and it's my prayer that as we enter into a new decade and you have relationships with colleagues and family members and friends and or people you're in a covenant relationship with, that you'll remember this. There are so many times where we want the world just to be so simplistic. We want it to be black and white. But thanks be to God that there are those people that bring color into our lives. Yes, there is an end goal of something that needs to be done, but thanks be to God that there are people in our lives that help us enjoy the journey on our way. We can all grow relationally, and it's my prayer that you will, not just this next year, but the next decade and beyond. But the most important, as a preacher of the gospel, I believe, is the growth that we can have, our forward movement in our spiritual journey, in our spiritual relationship with God. Hebrews 12:14 says, try to be at peace with everyone, and try to live a holy life, because no one will see the Lord without it. Are you really, if you're going to reflect honestly, are you trying to live a holy life? Are you tending to your spiritual disciplines? Are you reading the right kinds of things? Are you listening to the right kinds of things? Are you worshiping the right thing? each and every one of us can grow in our relationship with this God who took our flesh, grow in our relationship with Emmanuel, grow into eternity with the spiritual being of all spiritual beings, the creator of all that is and was and will be. And so in all of these things, growth and intellect, relations and spirit, in all things we need to remember that which Mike McCarthy, the fired Green Bay Packer coach, has said. I heard an interview with him this week, and he was fired, and they were talking with him. And apparently, he said something to the men in his locker room so often that they started to tease him about it, but they heard it, they remembered it. And what he said was, you have to decide to be better, not bitter. To be better, not bitter. And of course, he was saying that to himself in this interview because he had been dismissed from a job that he loved, a place he had been for 14 years, a community that he still lives in because he raised his family there. But which is it going to be for you in the roaring 20s? Better or bitter? My guess is if you're only looking backwards, you're choosing bitterness. Either bitterness of something that you have not been able to let go of, or bitter about what's in front of you. But if you choose better, it means that you are moving forward for the glory of God to grow as a child of God. May it be so. Amen.